This morning's reading is from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Thank you, Lynn. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. If you were here last week, you might notice, or maybe you don't notice, but last Sunday afternoon, after I was at the personal care home, I got my hair cut. I really needed it. It had been a year, I'm sure it had. And when the young woman had finished, she turned the chair so that I was facing the mirror, and she asked how I liked it. And she was lovely and just so much fun to be with for those moments when she was cutting my hair. And so I told her how great it looked. But the truth is, I couldn't see at all because she hadn't given me my glasses back yet. So I couldn't see anything. I'm like, oh, it's so great. And it felt different too. So, and then it was cold. So I went and I just put my hat on and I went in my car, and it was still cold. And it was so cold that I slept with my hat on. And the next morning, when I got up and I took my hat off to get into the shower, I'm walking past the mirror and I screamed because I live alone, but somebody was in my apartment. I had no idea who this person was with this short, like, curly, wild hair. I don't know what happened. And I have to say, I'm really embarrassed because that's the second time in my life that's happened to me. You'd think that I would know by now. A cat came running. And it was really odd. I don't know if you've ever had that occasion, not to recognize yourself. And that moment was funny in retrospect. But there are other times in my life when not recognizing myself was true. And it wasn't funny at all when it was deeply painful. And that can happen to a lot of us at any stage in life. Sometimes when circumstances shift, when grief or fear or pressure changes us in ways that we didn't choose. And I know this because I've sat with people, because I've experienced it, and also I've sat with people who were absolutely convinced that they had become somebody else. Years ago, I sat with a brokenhearted 16-year-old girl who said, I don't know what happened to me. I hate the person I am. I'm not the person I was last year at my old school, because her family had moved and she was in a new place and it was much bigger and she was miserable and she was hurting and she was lonely. And when she got to the new school, she found other students who were also miserable and hurting and wounded and lonely. And they all were finding and found destructive ways to ease the pain. And she did too. And now she was skipping classes and doing things that she knew were hurting herself and others just to dull that pain. And years ago, I sat with a middle-aged dad who found himself unable to control his feelings. And he was lashing out violently toward his family, something he'd never done before, something he could never have imagined himself doing before. And he said sort of the same thing. He said, I hate who I am now. I hate looking in the mirror. One woman told me, I never ever thought I would be this bitter old woman. I am now the kind of woman I used to make fun of, the one I said I was never going to be. And let me tell you, these are beautiful people. And maybe you know people like them. Maybe you felt like them when you're no longer you. And Jesus, right here, is telling us otherwise. We read these verses, and to some of us, they're familiar. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I've heard those verses so many times. But I never realized this until this time, studying this scripture, reading this all these years. I never looked at it this way. What Jesus says, he doesn't give a command here. Not before he gives two statements of fact. You are salt, and you are light. It doesn't say, this is how you can become salt someday, or even follow me and you will be light. He does ask that question, what good is salt when it loses its saltiness? And that's a tricky question. And I'm not saying that Jesus knew that salt, the chemically stable compound, sodium chlorine, it actually does not spoil, expire, or change its fundamental molecular structure. It might change a little bit, but that composition does not change. It was always what it was and always will be. And so Jesus' words, as we find them here, are well wisely chosen. Today, salt, it's a health risk or something maybe to make popcorn more tasty. But that's not the way it was in the ancient world. Salt was seen quite differently. What Jesus is saying by saying that we are salt, salt then, your deepest nature has not changed. Salt preserves the good. Salt was necessary for life in the ancient world, and it did not change, and it does not change. It does not change. And there are times in our lives when we felt that we maybe have lost that inner goodness, that inner light. But that is not what Scripture is telling us today. You are still you, salt and light. About 3 years ago, I started talking to a woman who lives in my apartment complex. And when I first met her, she's always walking her doggy. And when I first met her, she was really heartbroken about things that had gone on in her denominational church. The church had split some years ago. And so she had stopped going to her church in Manassas. And because she was very sad with the way they had gone, and she was simply brokenhearted. And various awful circumstances in her life, one hit after another. And she was wounded. And every day we'd talk just a little bit. And I recommended a little church to her that was sort of like the church she had come from. It was Episcopalian church. It split off from the church that she had belonged to. And I said, well, you go there. If you love the liturgy, just give it a try. And so 2 years ago, she went on Christmas Eve for the very first time. And she just told me this story this week. She said, I never told you what happened. I knew she was now going to that church all the time. But she said, two Christmases ago, I finally went to that church. And I thought the church roof was going to come down on me. Because I thought, I don't belong here. God is done with me. Church is done with me. My life is a mess. And when I sat down, I was crying, and I knew I'd cry the whole time. But just then, a man came in and sat next to me, and he was sobbing and sobbing. And I didn't know this man. I didn't know what to do. But I just took his hand, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he explained that his husband had died in the fall, and this was his first Christmas attending the church without him. And he said, I'm gonna be a mess. And she said, "I'm a mess. I'm right here with you." And they sat through that church service together. And she told me, she said, "You know, Ing, I don't know, but if I wouldn't have been able to say honestly, I need something here because I am hurting. And if I wouldn't have been able somehow to believe that there was something still good in me, I never would have gone in that door. And I never would have reached out to that man." And she realized that she was still herself, still that beloved child. Those 2 years when she wasn't going to church anymore, it was more than 2 years, those many years when she wasn't going to church, she was still salt and she was still light. But now she can sense it. And so I wonder, for any of us or for someone maybe that we love who is feeling this way, that their deepest nature has somehow changed, that they are beyond repair, somebody who can't recognize themselves when they look in the mirror because grief has reshaped them or fear has hardened them in ways they never expected. Jesus is looking at you, at all of us, and saying, without qualification, without hesitation, without squinting, "I know exactly who you are. You are salt. You are light. Your essential goodness is preserved. Thanks be to God."